Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Creative Alchemist, a podcast for creatives by a full-time creative. I am your host, Sulinette. You may call me Sulinette. If you are already a monthly supporter, thank you so much. If you'd like to become a monthly supporter and help me keep doing what I do, you can go to anchor.fm/The Creative Alchemist. Thanks again. Hey, you. Most, if not all, of the special episodes you'll be listening to over the next several weeks will be me interviewing pals that have been storytellers in the past for my show, A Little Bit of Death. A Little Bit of Death is an annual storytelling show that centers BIPOC and queer voices around the themes of grief, letting go, and transformation. Storytellers share parts of themselves and their journey in a multitude of ways, and it's always a beautifully heavy night full of healing in a community space. This year, I was invited to present at a summit pertaining to the work I do with A Little Bit of Death. Woohoo! So, I thought, who better to join me in speaking on it than the pals that have actually gone through the process? I reached out to some and asked if I could interview them on their experience with the show, what impact it had, what they shared, and why sharing these stories matter. Art is a form of storytelling. With their permission, I'm sharing the audio with you from those interviews that I'll be using for my presentation at the summit. One of the last episodes I had recorded before my latest break was about following and following through on your wild ideas. A Little Bit of Death was one of those wild ideas for me, and it's blossomed since the first show 7 years ago. This year, it'll be held over 2 nights in Hartford, Connecticut at Carriage House Theater on the evenings of Friday, November 11th and Saturday, November 12th. I thought I'd drop these special episodes leading up to the show this year, and I hope you enjoy them, and obviously, join us at the show. Today you'll be hearing me interviewing Andrew Dean Wright. Andrew's pronouns are he, him, and Andrew is a poet, a digital artist, and photographer based in the Hartford, Connecticut area. Having taken to poetry from an early age, Andrew's pieces range from simple exercises and advice to pieces penned with the intent to serve as catalysts for discussion and praxis, with a large focus on freeing ourselves from the things that hold us back from expressing ourselves fully, whether that be from oppressive institution or one's own inhibition. Let me tell you, as somebody that has heard his work over the years, it is always an honor to listen to this wordsmith at work. Enjoy.
Yes, recording.
Got it.
Cool. So from the top, very first question is, when did you first hear about A Little Bit of Death and what were your initial thoughts about it?
Oh, that's hard to say. Because I don't actually remember the exact year. I do remember that I remember hearing about it when you were starting it, but I never actually went myself for whatever reason. And it was always something that I had been immensely intrigued by because, you know, you're dope as hell. And pretty much everything you do is like, I was retroactively more angry at myself for last time when I did go and wasn't in it and saw, and I was just like, ugh. What do I do with this? Because seriously though, like the she's beautiful and you're beautiful and love seeing it.
What did you think about, I mean, first of all, thank you. What do you think about the show's theme around death as a metaphor for transformation?
I think it makes a lot of because in so many ways we have to give up so many things when change happens, right? Like our ideas about what the world should be like, ideas about what we should be like, the things we want to hold on to that might not always be great for us. And we do grieve in so many small ways, right? So I think it makes sense.
So talk to me about the process of your involvement for the show. So what was it like for you to be invited to A Little Bit of Death, to be a storyteller? What was it like preparing for the show? Talk me through it.
Well, you know, I was just sitting there minding my own business one day when I get a phone call from Sulinette. And whenever I get a phone call from Sulinette, I'm like, some shit's about to go down, you know. I'm about to either get hit with some realness or I'm about to get hit with some realness. So I answered, and what do you know? An invitation. And like, in all seriousness, not that I was joking at all before. Again, it's like humbling, because, and I know you talk about like people see like the power that you are, you claim, the power that you have, that you're willing to like to utilize. And I think that there's a lot of fear for not just myself, but a lot of people. And so to just be invited to be like, come be great. Like, it's just like, what, who, me, what, why? That was, it was exciting, exhilarating to be invited into that space. And also like humbling, because it's like, I have, you know, I want to be able to bring a message, want to be able to be a, I don't even want to say like be worthy of the title, because I think that that kind of, you know, but I do think that it's almost like a take off your shoes, like this is a holy space kind of feeling that I got there. And I want to be able to be respectful of that, because it's some heavy shit, yo, for real.
If you feel comfortable sharing, what did you want to talk about at A Little Bit of Death? What did you want to share at A Little Bit of Death? What was important for you to like either wrestle with or let go at A Little Bit of Death with your piece?
Well, for me, a lot of it had to do with depression and suicidal ideation, and the kind of the ways that's colored my life, you know, so far, and the things and the people that have come through my life that have either changed my perspective or helped me through those times. And the thing with that is, like, in terms of A Little Bit of Death, like in a literal sense, or slightly literal sense, those obtrusive thoughts don't always go 100% away, right? And even like that struggle, that fight, is something that comes and goes. And I think that it's something that, like, even though I recognize that's something I struggle with, I wrestle with, I care so many ways, there are so many other ways in which I can love the life that I live and the people that help me love it. So that was really what I wanted to be able to bring to the table and talk about in earnest.
Did you have some sort of, like, were you hoping for something to be shifted or gained by sharing what you shared?
I guess that could be by myself or by others. I mean, I always hope that with others, they'll take something from it, right? Like, they'll be able to either use it to help them in their journey, or, hey, use me as a, you know, a lesson as to what to avoid if you see any mistakes I make. If I can inspire or teach or even just connect, even if you're just like, man, same, big same. If you just got that, like, that's, I think a lot of art for me is about connection, like being able to, you know, convey that experience, that idea to others. And I think that what they find in that ideally gives them a more fuller, a more full experience. As for myself, there's always that duality to it. I hope to bring something to others, and I hope to bring something to myself in sharing it, being vulnerable in front of people, being just kind of tearing myself open and looking through what's in there to really see what do I have going on? How can I grow? How can I learn? And, you know, as you come with me, I think out of everything I've seen, from a little bit of death and what I hoped to bring is like, and even I think one of the things that I talked about within my piece is the ways in which that vulnerability allows you to really engage with others. There are ways in which I think we protect ourselves and try to hide ourselves from the possibilities of pain that really lock us off from the ability to actually have deeper connection with each other and even ourselves. And so I think that like that vulnerability, that bravery, that being willing to face all of it is important. And that in and of itself is an exercise in it.
I had said this before we started recording, but since this will now be a podcast episode as well, folks at home should know that you have, and this ties into my next question, you are one of the folks that I'm interviewing from the year, from A Little Bit of Death in 2020, which was the only time that the show was, for the sake of safety, it was pre-recorded and it was put online for a number of days before it was then taken down, because I am very adamant about the show dying every year. And so talk to me about what that process was like, for you in terms of having what you were sharing recorded, and having it sort of be on the internet. Did you have any apprehension about that? Was that exciting for you? And then what kind of reaction, if any, were you getting from folks that were seeing your work? Because it was up for, if I remember correctly, like 3-4 days. So what was that like for you? And what did folks have to say about what you said?
There's certainly something scary about being recorded and having it up there in that way, because like you said, like it's not something I'm really super familiar with myself. Some of it just being vain, right? Like, oh man, like I'm gonna be on camera, like oh my god, what's that even right? But that was largely overpowered by my excitement. Like I have people that I love and appreciate dearly, that, you know, might not be able to actually make it to an in-person show, that like now had the ability or then had the ability to actually engage and experience that. And I think that there are, you know, pros and cons to any medium, right? Like I think there are things that doing it in a video context allows for that could also be beneficial to the pieces themselves. I'm thinking even of like, you know, especially with some of the pieces having like physicality to them, like movement, things like that, like the ability to actually get close with the camera, things like that. I think there were so many things about the ability to record that I found exciting and like novel in a way that could potentially have elevated some of the art itself. That being said, there's always that balance of that too. Like, do you want to be raw? Do you want to be, you know, again, I think it was, we did one take, right? So I think there's a good amount of that in there anyway. I think it was a good blend. But in any case, yeah, it was terrifying and it was exciting. And I did like the ability to flub a line and just kind of pause and go, all right, let me try again. I like the ability to be like, let me try again. I made a mistake, but let me try again.
So I want to hear about your feelings after two endings. So one, what was it like for you right after we said, that's a wrap in person? And then what was it like for you after, well, actually I should ask, did you watch yourself when it was up online?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the second question is, what was it like for you after seeing that?
Okay, so first it was, well, there was a lot going on with that because it was exhausting. There was a lot like in the show and personally. I think it was semifinal day of like the whole production when I think I got in a car accident, right? Or was that the last day? It was one of those 2 days. I got like my car got completely totaled, which talk about a little bit of death, I suppose. And during that was around the same time where I actually have I had a pet leopard gecko Nimbus. He had just passed as well. And that was just like there was a lot going on at the same time as we were going through all of that, right? So I was relieved and exhausted and still like, holy shit, what is this gonna look like? How is this gonna, you know, what is the, did I do good, you know? I trusted that I did what I did, but again, with that vulnerability, there's always that, like, I hope that this lands, I hope that this connects. And I watched it in a group, it was funny because a lot of it had me in my feelings, I'll tell you the whole thing. Is really funny because I think I cried the hardest like out of everyone there at like watching my own thing. Like seeing it again, I'm just like, fuck, everything, like just going through it, like just literally going through it again. Cause I'm like, you know, I see it. I'm like, you watch something. You're like, wow, I know what that person's going through. And I'm like, wow, that's me. I know what I'm going through. but it's just like those things that I was always scared to say, like, you know, just really being like, holy crap, I put that out there. And seeing how everyone put their whole selves out there was amazing. And again, like constantly humbling. And I think that that aspect of community, that bringing of everyone together in that space to be vulnerable, to live and to grieve and to celebrate all at the same time is empowering and humbling. And I love all of that. And every time it with ours and with all of everything I've seen since, it makes me want to be less of like the hermit, right? The guy in the cave that I always am so likely to be. Like we had the same similar conversation the other day, you know, like people would be like, where's your stuff at? Where can I find you? And it's like, you can't. So every time I engage, every time I think about it, it's like, okay, I want to be a part of this world.
That didn't just put me in my feelings or anything like that at all. Not even a little, just so you know. Harumph. So you did go to last year's A Little Bit of Death. Tell me what that experience was like for you as an alum, having been through the process yourself, but also now getting the chance to sit in the audience and hold space for other folks. What was that like for you?
I think, again, just very much had me like, wow, I'm counted among these individuals, these giants, these gods, dare I even say? I guess that also means I'm calling myself one, which I'm okay with that. In any case, it was amazing. I was like everybody's art, literally I got a singing bowl, like literally right here, after watching, yeah, like literally watching the meditation, that part, and just feeling like, holy crap, like I want that, I need that. Those stories still like sit with me, and even seeing the ways in which like experiences might parallel or diverge, that, you know, that vulnerability, seeing people just open themselves and being like, thank you so much for allowing me into this space, for allowing me to see this part of you, because again, retroactively and going forward, it makes me feel safe and secure and more courageous in sharing my own vulnerability with others. And also just like in terms of just pure artistic merit and pure like skill, god damn, like I was just like I need to hop in this and just talk to y'all real quick, just to be around you, just to absorb some of this and to be around that, because I don't know how much I cried, a lot during that one. And again, I can't keep myself from going back to the idea of just being grateful that you do this.
I'm cool, man. I'm cool.
I agree.
Thank you. Just to throw it out there, because I didn't at the very top, folks at home should know that Andrew Dean Wright is my favorite poet. So, you've already alluded to this and spoken to some pieces of this, but why the intent, part of the intention of A Little Bit of Death is to hold space, private space, is to hold private space, centering BIPOC voices and queer voices around grief, letting go, transformation. Why do you think spaces like this matter, or why a night like A Little Bit of Death matters for our community?
I think that kind of like it touched on at one point earlier, just there's so much at play in our society and our social structures, even when you take out all of the, you know, my propensity to go into the politics of it all, although I will if you let me, no problem. I think even just the way we can be so individualistic, the way that life just gets, sometimes we can be so caught up that sometimes just sitting and with one another is just like, what are you talking about? Like, I got shit to do. Like, I'm grinding, like I'm out here, I'm making moves, and just forcing you to be like, stop. Like, it's okay to break down. It's okay to not feel like you fit in, because a lot of these spaces aren't designed for you to fit in. It's okay to grieve. And I think that is in like essential to the human experience. And I think that there are so many ways in which that is deprived of us, that it's why it feels like a breath of fresh air. Like, holy shit, I've been holding my breath for an entire year. And you just reminded me, because it's that weird thing where you see others. I'm thinking about watching the 2021 show, and you see others and you feel seen as well, in a way. Whereas like almost like being given permission almost to exist in that space in that way, to that weird in between, you know, the awkwardness and the pain and the all of it. It's necessary. I wish I could articulate it in a more like verbose way, but it's just necessary for us to like us to hear experiences and stories like the stories that we go through. So let's continue.
What you also spoke a little on this, but I'd love it if you'd go more in depth in terms of like, what was life like for you? What was life after a little bit of death? You shared some heavy things pertaining to, you know, depression, suicidal ideation. You also spoke about what was happening in the Black community. You, for folks that didn't get the chance to see it, you literally stood on a grave with your name on a plaque on it. And so what was it? And you watched yourself, it was emotional for you. And you said you gained some things like bravery and wanting to not be so much of a hermit and maybe wanting to be found just a little more. So, yeah, tell me a little more about life after a little bit of death.
Again, I think I just keeps using the word vulnerability, right? And I think that's because it has impressed that on me so much. A lot of the kind of the synthesis of my piece at the time was in discussing the ways in which being seen and seeing others kind of helps me through. And in that, being able to be more forthright, being able to deepen my relationships with those that are actually there for me and are actually willing to support and hear those and hold was something that I wanted to be able to lean into more. Admittedly, I still haven't been as active within a lot of the actual artist spaces, I would say, here and there. Partially just due to certain life circumstances. But I've been making a more concerted effort to work on the relationships that I have, right? To make sure that I'm coming to the table and I'm bringing that and I'm creating that safe space, because there are so many ways in which, like, even I talk about, like, you get so caught up in things and you miss things, and sometimes it's okay to be given permission. There are ways in which I recognize that I have disallowed some of the people in my life, like, from accessing that space with me, without realizing it, maybe, and wanting to give that to them, allow them to express themselves in that same way, has been something that I've really wanted to be able to do more of and broaden the scope of.
So that's it in terms of questions that I have, but I want to leave space for if there's something that I didn't ask you that you wanted me to, or if there's just any like final thinky thoughts that you want to share. Before we wrap this bad boy up, this is your space.
Well, I would say again, thank you for all of the work that you put into A Little Bit of Death And thank you to anybody that's currently listening, right? Like, I talk about the ability for us to hold this space for one another, and the very fact that you would sit here and even engage in this, you'd hear me once more being willing to be vulnerable. I appreciate that. I appreciate every single person and their willingness to engage in that. And I encourage everybody to be willing to do that for each other. Because that's, I think that's what a little bit of death exemplifies, in along with a million other things. I don't mean to pigeonhole it in any way, but hold space for one another. Like, thank you for this space, hold space for your people. Like, death contextualizes life in so many ways, and just keep that in mind, whether it be the finality of life or the remembrance that we need to grieve, allow the process to happen when things change. It might not always be a person or a literal living thing in the flesh and blood sense, but so many times we lose things. And sometimes we have to, in the same way as we, you know, got rid of those recordings, you clear away the old so the new can come forth as well. So do that for yourself, for the people around you. Create that space so you can grow together. And that's really it.
Oh, Andrew, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Alrighty, mi gente. This has been another episode of The Creative Alchemist. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sulinet. You can check out the rest of my life at sulinet.com. That's ZULYNETTE.com. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and support it with a monthly subscription by clicking on this episode's description or by visiting anchor.fm/thecreativealchemist. Thank you to our current supporters. Until next time, stay hydrated, stay creative. Peace.